بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His blessings and His kindness and His mercy upon us. I urge you and I urge myself to have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because things can change for a person, for a community, for a people, for a country, in a matter of a heartbeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn around the fortunes of a person, of a community, in an instant. And it does not even take an instant for something to happen and for things to change. When we think back to 10 years ago at this time, we were living in a changed world. There was shock, there was confusion, there was fear, and there was anger amongst ourselves and all around our communities. And the worst fears of Muslims, especially Muslims in North America, were realized when, on September 15th, so 10 years to the day yesterday, when the terrible acts committed on September 11th, 2001, were linked to our religion and to those who share our faith. Most of us remember exactly where we were on that day. I remember I was a student at the time. I was studying at the Islamic Institute in Cornwall. And during the nightly assembly that night, so every night we would have an assembly after Isha prayers where we recite Surah Yasin and make dua afterwards. During the nightly assembly after the Isha prayers, our principal, my teacher, unequivocally condemned the attacks. And that wasn't done for public relation purposes because there was no media there. There was nobody else there. It was just us, the students, and the teachers. But nonetheless, he made it very clear to us that whatever had happened was totally unacceptable, especially to us as Muslims. That Friday, he made dua, he made prayer, he made supplication for peace in the world, all over the world, in all countries around the world. And the reason for that is very simple. The reason for that is that peace and stability is what we aim for as Muslims. And that's what Islam teaches us. And that is an essential ingredient of the work of da'wah. If you want to invite people to Islam, if you want to educate people about Islam, if you want to continue the work of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need peace, we need stability for that. And this should be very clear to all of us. This should be something that is extremely clear in our minds, in our hearts, not something that we simply say, not something that we just tell others as, you know, lip service, but something that we actually understand and something that we believe. To make it clear, because many times it is said that imams are not clear enough and we don't, you know, talk about this and so on and so forth, let it be very, very clear for anyone who is listening. As Muslims, we stand against, unequivocally, very clearly, against all forms of terrorism and all forms of violence, against all innocent people. We remember and we strongly, unequivocally condemn the aggression against Americans, innocent Americans, like we saw on 9/11, that claimed nearly 3,000 innocent lives. We remember and we strongly and equivocally condemn aggression against innocent Afghanis, the close to 50,000 or so who have lost their lives since 9/11. We also remember and strongly and unequivocally condemn the aggression against innocent Iraqis, the close to 1.6 million who have lost their lives since 9/11. We also remember and strongly and unequivocally condemn the aggression against innocent Pakistanis, thousands of whom who have lost their lives since that time. We also remember, because we are in the process of remembering the anniversaries, right, of terrible acts of terrorism, such as 9/11, we also remember the act of terrorism that occurred today, 29 years ago. 29 years ago today, against innocent Palestinians in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps, in which up to 3,500 innocent civilians were killed with the support of the Israeli Defense Forces. We strongly condemn all of these acts of terrorism. We condemn unequivocally all acts of aggression and terrorism against all innocent people, wherever they may be, anywhere around the world, regardless of whether they are Muslims or not. Whether this aggression is committed by individuals who are Muslims or otherwise, whether this aggression is committed by armies representing countries or their agents, as Muslims, we stand against all of this because Islam does not teach us that this is the way to go. Islam does not teach us to commit acts of terrorism and commit acts of violence. This is not what Islamic values teach us. This is not what the values of liberal democracy teach us. This is not the values that liberal democratic the liberal democratic institution preaches. And this should be very, very clear to all of us, to our neighbors, and to our fellow citizens. Now, 10 years after 9/11, there are a number of things to be concerned about. There are a number of things to be concerned about. Among them, the fact that hate against Muslims is on the rise, and this is not something that can be denied. There are a number of people who are concerned, meaning our fellow neighbors, our fellow citizens, who are concerned about the rise of Islamic extremism, and I say that in quotes. People who are questioning the place of Muslims in our country. These are discussions that are ongoing. These are things that should be concerning to us. These are things that we need to pay attention to. And they cannot be ignored. The reason they cannot be ignored is because if we ignore these issues now, our children and our grandchildren will have to tackle the same issues, but perhaps they may be many times worse than they are today. So this is something that as Muslims, as individuals, as leaders, we need to address and we need to keep in mind and we need to look at how to resolve. So the first thing that we have learned, so there's a number of things that we have learned in these past 10 years. The first thing that we have learned is that we need to stand up, we, all of us, as individuals, you need to stand up for your faith and your community. Okay, there's no question that Islam is often misrepresented, right? So you hear this in the media, so we blame the media, we say the media misrepresents Islam, doesn't tell the truth. We say that other Muslims misrepresent our faith. We say that politicians and other leaders misrepresent our faith. And sometimes we say and we find that people of other faiths misrepresent our faith. But what happens is too often we are quick to place the blame on others. Right? We are very quick to point the finger at others. So there's always someone to blame. Right? So it's the media's fault. Or it's the Islamophobes, the people who hate Islam, is their fault. And so on, so on, so on, and so forth. So we always have someone to lay the blame upon. And this might be true. This might be true partially, but what we need to do is look at ourselves first. What have we done positively? What have we done to correct the problem? What have we done to present the proper viewpoint? What have we done, all of us, not as a community, but as individuals, what have we done to set things straight? Or have we simply looked at it? Oftentimes we hear something, we get angry over it, we blame someone over it, and then we move on with our lives. If that's what we've done, if that's the approach that we have taken, then that is not the right approach. The Prophet ﷺ has said, and this is a hadith we often quote, that whoever amongst you sees anything objectionable, let him change it with his hand. If he is not able to change it with his hand, then with his tongue. And if he is not even able to do so, then with his heart. And the latter, meaning the last one, to look at something and understand it as being objectionable inside the person's heart, is the weakest form of faith. So we see a number of examples. So just recently we heard our Prime Minister. We heard our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, make comments where he associated Islam with terrorism. And this was made on CBC on CBC television, on the national. And when he was asked about the major threat to Canada right now, so Peter Mansbridge, the host, asked him, what's the biggest threat to Canada right now, the biggest security threat? He said it came from Islamicism, which actually isn't even a word. Okay, so if you actually look up the word Islamicism, it doesn't exist in the dictionary. He sort of made it up on the go. But he said that it comes from Islamicism. What he might be referring to as Islamism. But nonetheless, he also referred it to as Islamic terrorism. Now, this is problematic for a number of reasons, but you know, instead of just getting angry at the Prime Minister, instead of just talking about it, right, we have a duty to educate him. We have a duty to inform him politely that it is incorrect and irresponsible as well to call it Islamic terrorism. We know what he's referring to, but it is irresponsible and incorrect to refer to it as Islamic terrorism, as there is no such thing as terrorism sanctioned by Islam. It just doesn't exist. Perhaps he meant to say, you know, the biggest threat to Canada still right now, 10 years after 9/11, so on and so forth, is terrorism committed in the name of Islam, or terrorism for which Islam is used as a justification. Perhaps that is what he was referring to. But for the common person, for the common person who's watching the news, for the average person who just hears what the Prime Minister has said, it appears that Islam is a security threat, or that Islam sanctions terrorism, which is absolutely not the case. As we've spoken before, Islam and Muslims have existed in Canada since the mid-1800s. Since the mid-1800s, Muslims have lived in Canada, and Islam has continued to exist in Canada. And alhamdulillah, as we have seen, the overwhelming majority of Muslims have not been causing problems. And in fact, alhamdulillah, so far nobody has. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it that way. But nonetheless, we have a responsibility to speak up and to express our displeasure with his comments and to educate him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best struggle, the best jihad, is to speak a word of truth to a tyrant ruler. Okay, I'm not saying that Stephen Harper is a tyrant ruler, but what I'm trying to say is that there is value associated with, there is importance associated with speaking and with writing and using words. These are not just things that don't mean anything, but there is a value, there is an importance associated with educating people, standing up for the truth, and telling someone when they're wrong. So what we need to say is, Mr. Harper, you may have been referring to those who misuse Islam to justify terrorism, but your comments can be easily misunderstood, as there is no such thing as Islamic terrorism, and the vast, overwhelming majority of Muslims who are practicing Islam properly in this country are not a threat to Canada. Similarly, if our local newspaper runs a news article, or an opinion piece, or an editorial that contains misinformation about Islam, it's also our duty to speak out responsibly regarding that. Which actually raises the question, do we even know what's happening locally? Do we even know what's being said about Islam, about Muslims, about us in the local media? Who is saying what? Are we even aware of that? Or do we simply ignore everything that's outside what we feel is important to us and just continue with our daily lives? Let me tell you something. Newspapers pay a lot of attention to the letters that they receive. And I know this because I worked at a couple of newspapers, large newspapers. Okay, so newspapers pay a lot of attention to the letters, to the editors that they receive. And the reason for that is because newspaper editors, writers, managers want to know what the readership is thinking. They want to know what people are thinking about their reporting, about their coverage, about what they're writing. And this is one of the only ways, perhaps, that they can actually get that feedback. So they pay a lot of attention. Yeah, editors especially pay a lot of attention to the letters that they receive. So when I wrote a piece for the Toronto Star about the bombings in London, the subway and the transit bombings, and there were a number of letters that were received, the editors noticed that. Right? The editors noticed that there was a huge number of letters that came in as a response to that article. And that was noticed and that was recognized by the editors. So they pay a lot of attention to these letters. And it has an impact. If every member of our community, right, if every member of our community takes this as something important, if every member of our community follows what is being said about us, about our community, and every time that there is misinformation or there's misrepresentation about Islam or about Muslims, if every person writes even a short letter, it doesn't have to be a long essay. Actually, if the longer it is, the more likely that no one's going to pay attention to it. And that's not going to be printed. Okay? So short and sweet, to the point. The more people that write, the more attention it will garner from the people who are running the newspapers, and it will have an impact, inshallah, as we have seen in other cities. This has happened in other larger cities where people started paying attention, they started noticing, they started writing, and there has been a noticeable difference. Alhamdulillah. So blaming the media will not do anything about it, will not do anything to help. Responding and positively engaging with the media might make a difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ. Repel evil with that which is better. We are best acquainted with the things that they utter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware of the things, the misinformation, the misrepresentation, the accusations that are made against Islam, against Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, gives us the indication that we should respond, but we should respond with something that is better. So for example, if a newspaper does something or writes something that you don't like, protesting outside and breaking the windows or putting the building on fire is not productive, right? This is not the way that it's going to help. This is not the way where we can make a positive difference. It just makes matters worse. Rather, we have to take the higher road, right? Be professional in how we respond, but do it in a proper way. Do it in a combined effort so that it actually has a chance of making a positive impact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So good and evil are not equal. Repel evil. Repel that which is wrong, which is bad, with what is best. And you will see that the one you had mutual enmity with him will turn as if he were a close friend. So if there is any chance of making a positive impact, of making a positive difference, having positive impact, it is in doing things that are better, in responding in a way which is better. So that's the first part. The second thing we need to do as a community, as individuals, is we need to get people to get to know us. We need to get people to get to know us as Muslims. Studies in the United States, conducted by large, you know, research centers, have shown that knowing a Muslim has a direct correlation with having a positive view of Islam and Muslims. So the Pew Research Center study in the US found that the majority of people who knew Muslims, who had interacted with Muslims, had a favorable view of Muslims. And the majority of people who had unfavorable views of Muslims didn't actually know a Muslim. Okay? So the majority of people who thought bad about Muslims actually never knew a Muslim, never came in contact with a Muslim. Majority of people who actually had a favorable view of Muslims actually knew a Muslim. So to fight prejudice, to fight discrimination, and to make ourselves more accepted in our communities, we need to reach out to people. We need to be reaching out to people, and this is why for the last few weeks I've been emphasizing I've been emphasizing about, you know, being ambassadors of Islam, going out and not being afraid, not being ashamed of our faith, and letting others know about us being Muslims and interacting with people. So we need to reach out to our co-workers, reach out to our colleagues, reach out to our neighbors, reach out to politicians, reach out to anyone you can. And don't hide your faith, right? Don't hide your faith. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you are a Muslim. And deal with them according to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. The way the Prophet ﷺ would interact and would deal with people. With kindness and with mercy. And, you know, especially with our neighbors, right? Because, as we've discussed before, Islam places great emphasis on the rights of neighbors. Right? The Prophet ﷺ has greatly emphasized, you know, looking out for your neighbor. Making sure that, you know, if you're getting something for your children, and if you're, you know, getting a gift or something special for your children, you also make sure that the children of your neighbors are not deprived. And if you're, you know, cooking something good at home, that you share it with your neighbors. So the Prophet ﷺ has given us great guidance on the rights of neighbors. So try to be friendly with your neighbors. Look out for them. You know, look out for them. Reach out to them. So we just, you know, celebrated Eid, inshallah. Another one is coming up. If you have the opportunity, you know, give them gifts at Eid, if possible. You know, give them gifts, interact with them. Educate them as well at the same time. And little things, right? So if you see that your neighbor's garbage can or recycle bin is flying away in the wind, right, it doesn't take much to pick it up and to put it by their home, right? Or if your neighbor happens to be someone who's elderly and who has trouble, for example, cleaning the snow, shoveling the snow in the wintertime, if you help them out when you do yours. Small things like that. These are all our responsibilities as Muslims. So be a good neighbor, be helpful in the time of need. And as we know, there's an election campaign on right now, a provincial election campaign. So get involved, get to know the local teams and the candidates. Again, so you get to know them, they get to know you as Muslims, and they know that Muslims are part of this community and are people that are paying attention to what is happening. You know, write to the local MP, write to the local MPP, member of provincial parliament, the mayor and city councillors. Reach out and make sure that everyone knows that you are a part of this community and that you exist and that you are here and that you're not just some abstract statistic. Oh yeah, we have Muslims in this country, in this city. They are somewhere. We don't really know who they are. We don't know. We've never seen them. You know, we don't really know anything about them. That should not be the case. That should not be the case. So get people to know you by reaching out. Be proud of being a Muslim in a good way, of course. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And show them the true character of being a Muslim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is the better in speech than the person who calls to Allah, calls people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does good deeds, works righteousness, and says, I am one of the Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the best, one of the best things that a person can do. Finally, another thing that we have learned, and this is for ourselves especially, meaning as Muslims, that we need to secure our sources of Islamic knowledge. You know, one of the biggest challenges today is figuring out the most correct approach. Right? The most correct approach, the best approach to practicing Islam in our situation. Right? Because we are in uncharted territories in some way. Right? We are facing new situations every single day. And we need to figure out how can we best apply Islam today where we are living now. How do the rulings and the injunctions of Islam apply to us? And also, you know, the understanding and rulings derived from verses that talk about, and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, that talk about struggle, that talk about war. And this is especially important for those of us who have teenage children. Right? Because children will have these questions, they will hear about these things, and what is the first thing they're going to do? Search on Google. Right? What are they going to do? They're going to go on the internet and search on Google. And this is how a lot of times our children and other people as well within our communities end up falling into the wrong trap. Thus, it is absolutely vital to seek knowledge, to seek guidance from people who are qualified, from sources that are authentic. And when you come across something, especially if you're on the internet or on YouTube and you hear something or you read something, an article, or someone forwards you an email, be very judicious about it. Right? Be very careful about it. Weigh it and see, okay, what are the implications of what is being said? What are the consequences of what is being said? Right? What is the, is this the correct interpretation of what is being said? What are the opposing or the different views? And find out from proper, from qualified sources about these things. So do your homework, you do your research, and don't just fall for anyone who sounds convincing, or you know, or when you come across something that sounds convincing, especially on the internet, you just fall for it and you start following it. And it's unfortunate, but it is true that there are those who will purposely like you to get involved in these type of things, in things that may not be right, in things that may be incorrect, to serve their own agenda. Right? There are people who will try to get you to start doing things to serve their own agendas, making you think that this is the right thing to do, but later on, when you realize that you know you took the wrong path, you are the one who ends up suffering, not the person who guided you to that. So to recap, number one, we've got to be at the forefront of representing our faith and our community, doing so responsibly and wisely, and this is the defensive form, right? So when something is being said that is incorrect, when something is being misrepresented about Islam, we need to be on the defensive, legally, properly, in a halal, in a proper way, in a wise way, to represent our faith. Secondly, we need to be proactive. So we need to be not just defensive, but also be proactive in reaching out to people, getting people to get to know us as Muslims, and showing them the true character that has been taught to us in the Quran and then by the Prophet ﷺ. And thirdly, secure proper sources of Islamic knowledge and be careful, be very, very careful about who you take your guidance from. Inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will be, inshallah, forming a type of committee perhaps, or a group. We did the volunteer team, alhamdulillah. The next thing I want to do, inshallah, is to work on some sort of media and public relations action committee, inshallah. And I hope to get my young friends involved, especially our high school, university students, and training them and creating a system where we can be aware of being what is being said in the media, and we are able to respond and reach out to people in the media and politically as well, inshallah. So this is something that we will be working on. Also, very sad to learn that the mother of our dear brother Hisham al-Batani has passed away in Egypt. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To the mother-in-law of Sister Maha Uthman. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her forgiveness and a high status in Jannah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the family patience in this very difficult time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant forgiveness to all of our brothers and sisters who have passed away. So please make dua for her forgiveness and for the forgiveness of everyone else, inshallah.